Hey, everybody, and welcome to another edition of The Journey of Hope with Rodney Mathers. Glad you could be with us today. The Journey of Hope is a podcast that's especially designed to address the issues that men and women face after incarceration. Becky Harling's on the show today. We're going to get after it right after this. I'm Rodney Mathers, and you're on The Journey of Hope. Hey, y'all, really love to hear from you. Remember, you can always get me at mathersrodney@yahoo.com. That's mathersrodney @yahoo.com. Don't want to know why you went to prison. I just want to know how you're doing. Drop me a line, okay? Everybody, and welcome back. My special guest today and on the phone with me is Becky Harling, and she's a frequent speaker at women's conferences and retreats. She's the author of Finding Calm in Life's Chaos and Rewriting Your Emotional Script, and drawing from her experiences as a pastor's wife, a mother, and a breast cancer survivor, Becky delivers a message of hope and healing. And we're going to be talking about her new book today called Freedom from Performing, Grace in an Applause-Driven World. Becky, how are you?
I'm great. Thanks. It's great to be with you, Rodney.
Well, we're certainly glad to have you here. I'm just going to, right off the bat here, let's just start with, where does one's need to perform begin?
You know, I think a lot of us come out of the womb with definitely a competitive spirit. You know, some of us just come out seeming to wanting to be the best. But I think more often than not, Rodney, that desperate need to perform is rooted in shame messages that we receive in childhood. And those shame messages leave us feeling inadequate. And so we try to prove to the world that we're better than everybody thinks we are.
Does it have to do with our expectation levels, with, say, what we see people around us achieving? Is it along those lines as well?
Yeah, absolutely. I think, again, it's rooted in shame, but, you know, the persistent question for every performer is, how do I measure up? And so when you're asking that question and you look around you and people are accomplishing more than you are, or they're being more successful, or their marriage is going better, or they're prettier or healthier or whatever, your desire is to compare yourself with them.
Now, you've been through your own life trauma, just like the people who are listening to the show have been through trauma as well, and we consider going to prison trauma here. And despite what you do to get to prison, it's no fun there. And you've been through trauma. Tell us, if you can, a little bit about your own journey.
Absolutely. You know, I was born into a ministry home, a pastor's home. And from the outside, that home looked perfect. But on the inside, it was anything but perfect. And so while my father was preaching Jesus on Sunday, he was sexually abusing me during the week. And so from the time I was about 2 till probably my early teen years, my father was consistently brutally sexually abusing me. And that just left me with a huge amount of trauma. In fact, so much so that I didn't remember the sexual abuse until coming out of anesthesia after having a complete double mastectomy due to breast cancer. And so the new trauma to my body woke up the old trauma. And at that point, I realized, hey, I've got to get some help here because there's a whole lot wrong in the way I'm viewing life, and I've got to figure out how to do this.
Wow, that's amazing. I've never heard of that happening before. So how old were you when you had the double mastectomy?
I was in my early 40s, you know.
Wow.
And before that time, I had vague feelings like, I wonder if I was sexually abused as a child, but I just didn't remember. Mm-hmm. And, you know, for a lot of women, and I know that this will resonate with some of the women that are listening today from a prison cell, so many of them have been sexually abused. And oftentimes, if it's traumatic enough in childhood, and if it happens early enough, you don't remember it until the exact moment when God brings that back to your memory. Mm. But it leaves an indelible imprint on your emotional script, and it leaves you dealing with a whole lot of shame messages.
Mm-hmm. Well, you say you were that you were raised to protect an image. What exactly was that image?
Well, the image, of course, was my father. Because he was in ministry and he was quite well known in ministry, we were taught both verbally and non-verbally that we were to protect his image at any and all costs. And that meant, you know, denying that anything was wrong in our family. We were really taught that we were to be the perfect family and that we were to tell people at church and in other places that our parents were wonderful. And so it was really, we were all to protect his image rather than learning to live to display the image of God. And there's a huge difference.
Was that a factor when you decided, you know, when this revelation came to you about the abuse and you decided to seek help, did that make it harder for you to tell people that this had happened to you?
Oh, yeah, it was brutal. Honestly, it was brutal. I, you know, I really had to wrestle with it for a number of different reasons, Rodney. First of all, my father had led people to Jesus. Mm-hmm. So if I was, now my father was dead by the time I remembered, which I am thankful for, mm-hmm. but if there were people that had heard his ministry and I shared that he had sexually abused me, my fear was that that would ruin their walk with God. Plus I was just raised on this whole idea of don't tell, don't tell, don't tell, keep the secret. And so when I began coming out with the secret, it was pretty traumatic on me.
Mm-hmm. Well, let's get back to our need to perform here. How does our need to perform impact our spiritual lives and our relationships?
Oh, it impacts everything because when we struggle with that need to perform, we put on a mask and we develop really a false pseudo-self that we think looks better to the world around us. So we may put on the I'm perfect mask and there's nothing wrong with me, or we may put on the tough girl mask, you know, this doesn't even hurt me, so why bother trying? Or we may put on the mask that says, you know, I am better than everyone else and I'll prove it to you. And we put on these masks, and the problem is it's my true self that God came to save. It's my true self that Jesus loves. And he doesn't come for some false illusionary self that I've designed and created to make me look better. And when we bring that false self into our spiritual relationship, it's like we come to God faking it, you know, because we want to look better to him. And that's ridiculous because he knows everything about us anyway.
Mm-hmm. But, you know, there's nothing wrong with striving for perfection. So can you tell us what the qualities are of someone who is a healthy performance-driven person and then someone who is maybe not doing it the right way?
Yeah, that's a really good question, Rodney, because we are to try our best at things, and we're definitely to be hard workers and to be honest and to really move forward in the way we handle our life skills. The problem is, let's start with honesty. The performer is not honest with who they are. So when we are really honest with who we are, we come to Jesus and say, Jesus, I need a Savior, because you know what? I am messed up, and I am sinful, and I need a Savior. Once he comes into our life, then we develop our skills, and we ask him to continually change us to be more like Christ. The unhealthy performer, on the other hand, really becomes a slave to the expectations of those around her. She becomes obsessed with keeping other people happy and with looking good to them, rather than saying, you know what, my life isn't completely together. She creates this illusion to prove that her life is together and that she's handling life well. She exhausts herself trying to keep up with everybody else's expectations for her, rather than learning how to set boundaries and say, you know what, I can't do that. I don't have the emotional or spiritual or physical energy to do that. And so there's a vast difference between a woman or a man who is a healthy performer who's trying to learn new skills and become better at those, and a person who is just living to please the people that are around them.
Mm-hmm. I think I know some people like that. Well, you call grace the road to freedom. What do you mean by that?
Grace is the best because, you see, as I said before, Jesus came for my messed up self. He knows I'm really a mess. And yet, in his grace, God sends Jesus. And once I've accepted God's grace, and then grace tells me that I am fully known, loved, forgiven, empowered, and pursued by God. And no matter how I behave after that, that certainty is mine. I become a beloved child of God, mm-hmm. and it's not dependent on my performance before God. He loves me as his child. And so once you've internalized that, it just promotes so much freedom in your life, mm-hmm. because once you have that love question settled, you know, I'm really loved, I'm completely loved and forgiven no matter what, because God knows the real me, then you're free to grow in your Christian walk and become all that God's called you to be.
You mentioned earlier about shame, and how does the concept of shame drive us to perform?
Well, shame leaves us feeling that there's something desperately wrong with us. Now, there is healthy shame. Healthy shame says, you know what, I'm a sinner and I need a Savior. I need the Lord Jesus to come into my life and to forgive me for my sins. That's healthy shame. Unhealthy shame says, I am such a mess. Why would God love me? And so unhealthy shame always prompts hiding. Remember in Genesis 3, God gives Adam and Eve one rule. Now, I grew up with tons of rules. Adam and Eve only had one rule. And he said, don't eat of this tree. And they do. And immediately, the Bible tells us that their eyes are opened and that they feel naked and ashamed. And so what do? Rather than running to God to heal them, they hide from God. And that's mm-hmm. the problem with shame. Shame moves us to hide from God when God is the very one who can heal that shame.
You also talk about creating a false self, and how does this affect our identity, and is it possible to lose sight of who we really are and live life like it's a lie?
Absolutely. I've known people like this, and I'm guessing you've known people like this, and your audience has known people like this, where after a while, you create this pseudo-self, and after a while, you believe the lies that you've told yourself for so many years, and that becomes your new identity. It kind of spins off and takes on a life of its own, and that really messes us up, because again, as I say, it's our true self that Jesus came and died for.
Becky, we're going to take a short break, and when we come back, we're going to have more with Becky Harling. Right after this, I'm Rodney Mathers, and you're on the Journey of Hope. You being productive with your downtime? I hope that you are. You know, that's one of the ways we can get back into trouble is to have a downtime that's not structured. And one of the things that I've learned how to do is to structure that time. And I've learned that one of the things I like to do is to play some music. And I'm not very good at it at all, but I sure do like doing it. And one of the things that's really helped me is something I want to tell you about. It's something called the Jam Buddy Chord Chart. The Jam Buddy Chord Chart is something that uses the Nashville numbering system. And what it does is it doesn't matter what instruments you play. If you learn this numbering system, you'll be able to play many, many, many songs in every single key. And that's what this system does for you. It makes you more useful as a player when you start jamming with other people. And so this thing is called the Jam Buddy Chord Chart. And the way you find it is you go to angiesbanjo.com. That's angiesbanjo.com. And you click on the link for the Jam Buddy Chord Chart, and you're going to get a free one-page sample so that you can see what this thing is. I guarantee you, if you're using your downtime to learn some music, you're going to want to get this thing. It's cheap, it's cool, it's very useful, and I highly recommend it. It's the Jam Buddy Chord Chart, and it's at angiesbanjo.com. And welcome back. We're chatting with Becky Harling. Her book is called Freedom from Performing: Grace in an Applause-Driven World. Let's see, Becky, what are some of the dangers of being overly introspective when we are working through these issues that you're talking about today?
Well, I think when we become overly introspective, we become very self-focused, and we're not able to see what's going on around us in other people's lives, and we can really become paralyzed by our own inadequacies and unable to move forward. Certainly, this was true in my life. You know, I would beat myself up so much after different events that I would become paralyzed over the next decision to make, mm-hmm. and unable to make that decision, and it would turn my heart inward rather than being outwardly focused to those around me.
Talk to us about your acronym, DESIGN, DESIGN. How does understanding this help us find our unique design?
Well, God has designed each of us very uniquely. There's no one on the planet Earth that has the exact same design that you have, because God has crafted your cells together. He gave you the color eyes you wanted. He gave you the color hair you wanted. He gifted you. He talented you. And so when you try to keep everyone else in the world happy, you lose who you really are. And so I decided to come up with an acronym to help women in particular figure out what they should say yes to and what they should say no to. And so I came up with this acronym, DESIGN. The D stands for dreams. What are your dreams and desires? And sometimes you have to sit there and think for a while, because many of us have been so driven by the dreams and the desires of people around us that we've lost touch with what our own dreams and desires are. The E stands for experiences. What are the experiences that have shaped your life story? For me, part of that experience was sexual abuse. And because God has healed me from that. He invites me to share that story with other women so that they know there's hope and healing in Jesus Christ. The S stands for strengths. What are your strengths? It's amazing to me how many times as women, particularly, and as performers, we can tell everyone what our faults are, but we have a hard time with strengths. But God has wired you with strengths. I stands for influence. In what areas of life do you have influence? Maybe you are a mother. You have influence over your children. Maybe you're a husband. You have influence over your wife. Maybe you have influence in your community, in your small group. Where do you have spheres of influence? G stands for gifts. What are your spiritual gifts? The Bible tells us that once you become a believer, he gives you specific gifts to use to be used to build up the kingdom of God. And then N stands for needs. What are the needs that tug at your heart? Like, for example, Rodney, one of the needs that tugs most at my heart after being a survivor of childhood sexual abuse is that the whole issue of child sex trafficking that's happening here in the United States and around the world. And so I have begun to speak out against that issue. And I actually designed a jewelry line to sell so that the proceeds of that could go to Shared Hope International, which is working to get little girls out of the sex trade. Our laws are so messed up because the little girl that ends up being sold into sex trafficking, she ends up, if she's caught, going to jail when the men that were using her and abusing her go off scot-free. And that's wrong. And so I've begun to raise my voice on that issue. So if a person will figure out their own unique design, then they can join God in what he's doing in this world around us.
Okay. Excellent. You've also talked about the idea of gratitude, and tell us how gratitude can be beneficial for us.
Gratitude really helps the performer because it lifts our eyes to the beauty and the perfection of Jesus Christ rather than continually looking at our own imperfections. And the more we say thank you to God, the more I believe the Holy Spirit strengthens us to believe the very thing we're thanking God for. So in other words, if I say, God, thank you that you are all-wise and all-knowing. I may not understand what's going on around me, but you do. Then the Holy Spirit strengthens my faith, and I begin to believe, oh, God is all-wise and all-knowing, and he does know what's best for me, even if it doesn't seem like that in the moment.
Mm-hmm. And then on the other side of the coin, we have bitterness. And why is that detrimental to retain bitterness in our lives?
You know, bitterness really messes us up, Rodney. There are people who have really wronged us, and I get that. And, you know, in my second book, Rewriting Your Emotional Script, I spent one whole chapter telling the reader about my own personal forgiveness journey to forgive my father, the one who sexually abused me. And it's a journey. But the thing is, if you don't offer forgiveness to the person who hurt you, that person has all the control over you. And in fact, I call bitterness the monument we build to our own pain. Because what we do is we build a wall around our hurt and we nurture our hurt and we say, you know, no one's been as hurt as badly as me, and I have a right to feel bitter, and I have a right to feel resentment, and I have a right to get revenge. And the problem is that creates in our heart a heart of stone rather than a soft heart. And when we forgive, it doesn't set our abuser free. It sets us free.
Mm-hmm. I love this next question. What advice do you give that can help us not take offense at something?
An offense in the Greek is, it talks about the part of a trap where the bait is laid. And so when we become offended, that's really Satan baiting us, you know, with hurt feelings. And the advice that I give to a person to not take the bait is to ask themselves a few questions. I have had to do this because I was born with a very sensitive spirit. So it's easy for me to get offended. But I've learned to ask myself these questions. What is the truth in this situation? The truth might be that person's just really having a bad day. and they didn't mean to come across that way. Mm-hmm. I ask myself, is there a trigger involved? You ever notice if you're in an argument with your spouse and all of a sudden you find yourself really angry and you don't even understand why? Mm-hmm. And maybe your spouse in that moment is sounding exactly like your mother or father or somebody who really kicked you off in your past. Mm-hmm. I like to ask myself, why is this so important to me? Is it really going to matter in 20 years anyway? And then I ask myself, is God trying to teach me something? And then the last question, excuse me, that I like to ask myself is, do I need to lay down my expectations? Because as performers, not only do we have high expectations for ourselves, but we have them for people around us as well.
Mm-hmm. Becky, how do people find your books? They're just absolutely excellent. How do we find these?
Thank you. I would love to have your listeners visit me at my website, www.beckyharling.com. And if they click on the tab that says store, they can click on any of the three books that I wrote, and that will take them directly to navpress.com. They can buy the book there, or you can buy my books on Amazon. And I would really love to hear from your listeners today. And just the message I want to leave them with is there is always hope and healing in Jesus Christ.
Becky, I want to thank you so much for being here. The book is called Freedom from Performing, Grace in an Applause-Driven World. The book has discussion questions in it. I really like that, and there's room to write. Excellent book. Becky Harling, thank you so much for being on the Journey of Hope today.
Thanks, Rodney. God bless.
My name's Rodney Mathers. We're going to take a short break. We'll be right back after this on the Journey of Hope. Well, that's all for this week. Wow, the time goes fast. I want to thank my special guest, Becky Harling, and I want to remind you that if God is for you, who can be against you? We'll see you next time right here on the Journey of Hope.